Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air. And once again, as always, thank you so much for listening to us on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening. Well, there's been a lot that's going on, Jamal. How you doing?
I'm getting a little restless, sir. I'm getting a little restless, man.
And why are you getting restless?
Man, you know, this quarantine stuff, just stay at home. I'm grown. I'm 40 years old. I don't like nobody telling me to stay at home. No.
Well, yeah, I feel you on that. You know, just for our listeners to know, we are still broadcasting from afar, so to speak, because we're all on shutdown, so to speak. So we are not in the studio right now. At any rate, listen, first of all, before we get started, we're going to be talking about some things today. Anybody ever that's interested in calling in, the number is 818-602-4929. Let me slow that down. 818-602-4929. Or you can always find that on the website for LA Talk Radio as well. And you can always email us as well at listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. That's listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. And by the way, if you want to get on our blog list or our email blast to talk about upcoming show topics, just text Potts Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email address. Again, text Potts Associates and text that to 22828, enter your email address, and we'll let you know beforehand what the topics are going to be. Well, today we're going to be talking about, I guess, really one major subject here. We're going to be talking about this business about shelter-in-place, these shelter-in-place ordinances and whether or not they're constitutional. And, you know, Jamal was just mentioning the fact that he's getting sounds like he's getting cabin fever out there, the shelter-in-place thing. So I get that. But, Jamal, you are going to the office at least. Some people can't go into the office because we're considered an essential business. At least we get to go. You get to go to the office anyway. Isn't that true?
That's true. That is,
you know,
true.
Yeah, I know it kind of takes the edge off, at least a little bit. But then when you get off of work, you'd rather have some free time to be able to go do your thing. And,
right.
And we get that. But before we get too far into this, let me just send a shout out. You know, we've lost 30 NYPD officers to COVID-19. You know, it's a shame with all of these deaths that are happening out there. But, you know, as a nation, we have to do what we have to do. These first responders, we can't say it enough about. What a job they're doing out there. It's a tough job. But they're getting it done. They're doing what they have to do. And we'll just wait and see what happens. You know, some of these states are really enforcing things. Jamal, I don't know if we mentioned this last week. Did you see the video with the guy in the in Philadelphia, I think it was, that got pulled off the bus because he wasn't wearing a mask?
Yeah, I did see that. Philadelphia is not playing. The city of brotherly love, man. They can't come on.
But you know, a whole boy got pulled off. But in the same token, you know, we got to think about the safety of the people on the bus driver, etc. I mean, some of these bus drivers have even passed away very quick. I think we may have mentioned that last week. I don't remember, but you know, it's a safety thing as well.
Yeah, you know, I have no under these circumstances. You know, to me, the guy didn't have any compassion for the rest of the passengers. So whatever he got was whatever he got. He put your mask on, man, and, you know, cooperate.
He was out there talking about, give me badge numbers. I want your badge numbers. I want your badge numbers. Yeah, as if he's going to raise some lawsuit. Who knows? This is the country for that, too. Another shout out that I want to give that I just kind of got hot off the press, Jamal. You probably haven't even seen this yet, but they had a mass shooting up in Canada, apparently earlier today. Guy was 51 years old. And here we were talking about the fact that, you know, we haven't seen that many issues that's going on in that, you know, in that respect. But apparently the Canadian authorities said this particular individual disguised himself as the Canadian Mounted Police. We know him as Mounties. and apparently went on some kind of a shooting spree. And the little town that this guy was in, there's only 100 to 250 residents. So kind of weird, you know, not to know exactly what his issues are. And, of course, with these things, sometimes these guys end up getting, you know, shot and killed. So we never find out, you know, what the what was their issue. You know, so I don't know. They don't really get that many in Canada. And the reason for that is that they got tight. They claim they got tighter gun control laws than, you know, than in the United States. I'm sorry, Jamal, what were you going to say?
No, I just want to send my prayers out to the, you know, the people affected by, you know, such a tragic thing like that. Yeah, man. Wow.
Well, the areas of people, I guess it started Saturday night or something like that. And they told people to stay home. And, you know, I'll get more details on it. But, you know, again, these kind of shootings and things are kind of ridiculous. And, you know, they I'm trying to see here. I think they had him that he was actually shot and killed. And that's the problem with these kind of things as well. The guy was 51 years old. At any rate, it happened in Nova Scotia, they say. I guess they consider that part of Canada. I guess it's part of Canada. The name of this little community is PORTAPIQUE, Porter Peak, Nova Scotia. But anyway, we'll move on. Our prayers go out to them, like Jamal said. It's a shame that these kind of things have to happen. We've all got more things on our minds to worry about right now, so don't know what his axe to grind was, so to speak. But hopefully we'll find out. Hey, let's get into these emails, Jamal. Jim, in reference to your request last week about whether we agree that prisoners should be released, I disagree. For example, down here in Texas, the ACLU wants to depopulate all of the prisons in the state. That is 140,000 inmates. There's only been 4 deaths and only 300 have tested positive. Why in the world would we want 139,700 other inmates out? We have 105 prisons here. One inmate that was released early immediately committed a sexual assault. Keep them locked up and take care of medical issues as they arise. Jack, Dallas, Texas. Well, Jamal, what do you think? I mean, I don't disagree with Jack. I mean, look at those numbers.
Well, I think people in prison don't want to be infected by coronavirus either. I mean, just imagine if you were in there for something, some kind of small petty crime or something like that, and then all of a sudden.
Well, first of all, hold on. Let's just be clear. If they're in prison, Jamal, they're not in it. They're not in there for a small petty crime. Those are normally misdemeanors. Petty crimes are normally misdemeanors, and they're probably doing some county time.
Right.
So these people are in there for, you know, for a lot, you know, stronger reasons than petty crimes. But I'm sorry, but go ahead.
But it doesn't mean that they're in there for a violent offense either. You know what I mean? I understand some of them are, but some of them might not be in there for violent offenses.
That's a good point, because I just heard on the news the other day about Michael Cohen, who got convicted with this whole business with the Trump administration. This guy's testimony, Michael Cohen, was one of these guys. I forget exactly what his position was, but they're letting him out on house arrest because why? He's in there for a white collar crime, so to speak, because he lied to Congress or something, perjured himself, whatever the case may be. And he's actually in prison in Otisville, New York. Now, Jamal, you don't remember Otisville, New York. I was raised not that far from Otisville. We lived in Bloomingburg. Otisville for us was only about 10 minutes. And I remember when Otisville had a detention center there for kids, you know, like wayward kids, things of that nature. And I guess eventually they must have made it into a prison. But and that's one example. The other example is, do you remember Avenatti, the lawyer that got convicted because he tried to bribe Nike? Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Okay. Avenatti, from what I understand, he's being let out for 3 months, okay, to stay at a friend's house. He'll be under, I want to say house arrest. He'll be confined to his friend's house for 3 months, and then he'll have to return back to prison. So I understand what you're saying. Those are white-collar crimes, but those are high-profile people also. I'm not hearing about necessarily, you know, so when you say white-collar crime versus, you know, the hardcore criminals, but Jamal, here's a guy, like I said, that just got released according to this. And this guy got out and committed a sexual assault right after he got out.
Right.
That's, you know, so how do you control? Look, my argument is that if they are in prison, Jamal, these guys are already on lockdown anyway. Okay. So the amount of, you know, how this should spread within a prison, in my opinion, at least if they have the medical facilities within prisons, and your Uncle Charles worked in, you know what, I should have asked him about that. He works in the jail system, you know, as a doctor for a while. And so he did a lot of work in the prison system. I should have asked him about that. So anyway, maybe I'll do that after we get off the air.
There was also an incident in Florida recently, too, where they let some of the people out. And one guy committed a homicide days after being released, you know, and listen, that's very unfortunate, but you mean you over punishing, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like,
whoa. How do you call that? But how can you call that over pun? Okay. Let's talk about punishments. Okay. Eighth Amendment, Jamal. Okay. Cause that's the road you're going down. The Eighth Amendment is an amendment against cruel and unusual punishment. Okay. But right. Remember, this isn't a punishment that the jail system is inflicting on anybody. Okay, this is a pandemic. Okay, and then What do you do? Let's say we get this cleared up in 3 months. You're going to bring all those people back. Here's a guy's got a 30-year sentence. So we let him out for 3 months because of the pandemic, and then in 3 months say, okay, come on back. You know what's going to happen. You won't be able to find half those people, more than half those people.
Well, no. Okay, maybe I'm getting confused because the people that's been here for 30 years, they probably got attempted murder, rapists. I'm not advocating for them. I don't care what happens to them. You know, I hate to say it like that, but it's true. You know what I mean? But the people who got like maybe a year sentence, 2 year sentence, 1 to 5 year sentence for something that's not severe as that, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm a little bit more sympathetic under the circumstances.
Okay. Okay, but let me tell you, Jamal, with the judicial system and the legal system, once you start letting out, where do you draw the line? Because once you start letting people out and the line gets drawn for whatever it is, Jamal, right before your situation, what's your attorney going to say? Your attorney's going to say, hey, what about Jamal? Well, he's just on the other side of the line. The cutoff was here. Well, why couldn't the line be higher? Now you're talking about litigation. And by the time it even gets resolved, all these people are going to be out. I mean, excuse me, hopefully this is all going to be behind us.
Right.
We can't just open up the jail system. And quite frankly, let's back up. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. They're there because they got convicted. So they're there. And they get whatever comes along with that. And they're not being exposed to anything. They're not being exposed to anything different than what we're being exposed to out here. So letting them out, how does that resolve the issue? They could get out and get the and get COVID-19.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, we have a system, you know, in terms of like, you know, from what I understand, we have like one of the most populated prison systems in the world, man. So there's got to be something wrong with that. First of all, to me, these prisons are supposed to be to rehabilitate people, and they're not quite doing that. So I don't know. I'm just not. I mean, yes, we need prisons. You know what I mean? But something is also wrong, too, with overpopulation.
Okay, now
I mean,
we're
that's
going down.
A different topic for a different show.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, we're going down a whole different path when we start talking about whether or not we've got a good system, bad system, whatever the case may be. Look, we've had discussions on this, probably, you know, even in the office or other discussions. I mean, our judicial system is still considered one of the best in the world. I mean, it's not a perfect system, and I get that. But we've got a lot of guidelines and a lot of things in place to avoid it being anything other than fair. And yes, there are times when people get, you know, convicted. They shouldn't have got convicted, but those percentages are not high percentages. Those are low percentages. And this business about rehabilitation, look, there are people out there, Jamal, that no matter what you do, no matter what kind of lending hand you help with some of those people, come on now, they're not interested. And I hate to say it, we know people like that, that no matter what you try to do, okay, they're going to go down the wrong path. So it's not just the system, you know.
Right.
Some of this is the individual. Look, anybody can make a mistake once and they get out.
Right.
But what about the repeat offenders? Come on, that ain't got nothing to do with rehabilitation. You know, those are career criminals.
Okay, so I found an agreement. I found a possible agreement me and you could have. Let's let the first-time offenders out early.
Let's let what?
The first-time offenders out early, then. There we go.
Well, you know I'm a former cop. I say, hey, keep them in there. Like I said, I'm not letting them out just because of COVID-19 when they could come out and still get COVID-19. They might be better situated right where they are, in all honesty. But I don't know. You know how this whole pandemic thing is. I don't know. If anybody out there's got any comments, your number once again is 818-602-4929. Appreciate hearing from you. Jamal, let's move on though, because I can see we're not gonna agree on this subject. Jim, your stats on burglaries and home invasions was very informative. But burglar proofing tips would have been helpful. Any suggestions? Myra from Long Beach, California. Well, Myra, yeah, we were just trying to give the stats from last year. We've done some tips in the past on this. And if you go to all of our shows are archived, so you can always go back in there and find some of that. But just I'll give you some basic tips right now that we can kind of go through to answer your question, since you were kind enough to write in. First of all, having lights in all entrances would be good. Don't have any dark entrances. That light bulb blows out, make sure you keep the lights that are always, that the light bulbs are, you know, always working. That's the first thing. So that way, if one is out, that may raise some suspicion that something might be going on. If the light hasn't blown out is the point, okay? The other thing is you got to have good locks. You got to have deadbolts on all the doors and the windows. Don't ignore the windows. I remember when Jamal was a baby, we got burglarized, and we had it was a sliding window, and the person just kind of lifted it up and slid it. And, you know, even though we had that stick in there, back in the day, people put a stick in the window, but the windows would slide left and right as opposed to up and down, and the person was able to get in. The other thing is use timers. Use timers to turn on your lights or radio or TV when you're not at home. Because I'll tell you something, noise is a great security enhancement. When people hear noise or something going on in the house, they're less likely to come in. And be sure to stop your mail and your newspaper delivery when you're out of town. So, you know, go to the post office, tell them, you know, that you're going to be away for a few days and they won't deliver the mail, because what will happen is that the mail will stack up, or the newspaper will stack up, and they'll know that there's nobody there. So make sure you do that. The other thing is some people put their first name on their mailboxes, you know, along with their last name. Don't do that. Or in the phone directory. Always use, you know, your first initial with your last name, and do that as well, all right? Don't use a message on your answering machine that says you're away from home or on vacation. People do that. Going to be away from, you know, we're going to be on vacation for the next 2 weeks. So thank you for your call. Leave a message, but we'll be calling you back in 2 weeks. Don't do those kind of things. All right. The other thing is talk to your neighbors. I'll say on the road that we live on, and I say road because that's what it is, a road. Our neighbors kind of all talk to each other, let each other know when we're going out of town and things of that nature. So, you know, have neighbors that you can trust, and talk to your neighbors and collectively work together to keep an eye on things if you are going to be out of town. That's another reason for having a good relationship with your neighbors, by the way. Now, the other thing I want to tell people, and this kind of goes toward the home invasion thing, is that check who is at your front door before you open it. And do not open the door to an unexpected visitor. And don't let strangers in your house to use the phone or make a call. People used to do those kind of things. Don't do those things, all right? The biggest one is don't hide extra keys in easily accessible places. Criminals are going to find them. These people that leave a key under the doormat. Now all they got to do is look under your doormat and just open the door. You know, don't leave keys there. And never give out personal information to telephone solicitors. Those are all factors, all right? The trust factors for people you don't know, and sometimes, quite frankly, some of the people you do know, you might not want to give information out to. Because these, you know, there's times when you don't know who to trust. Let's just put it that way. So, at any rate, one more go thing. Ahead, Jamal.
One more thing, too. Be careful about posting yourself being on family vacations on social media. You let the whole world know you're out of town, you're on a cruise with the family somewhere. It means you're not at home. And people that know you or friends of a friend might see that you're out of town. And, you know, so be careful about that also.
You know, the social media thing, Jamal, you're so right about that. Facebook. I'm not really an avid person with this Facebook thing or these other social media sites, but there are people out there that post everything. Hey, going to the store, doing this, doing that. I never understand that stuff. Why are you telling people what you're doing every minute of the day? First of all, who's even got time for that? But the other side of the coin is you're right. Hey, we're going on vacation. Or they start posting pictures. Here they are in Cancun or someplace on vacation and having a wonderful time. You know,
right.
That does signal to people that you're not at home. Now, if you've got your system in place, you know, you don't really have to worry about it. But why not just post the pictures after you get back and say what a great time you had and here's some of the pictures? You know,
right.
I guess that's how I look at it. You know, back in the day, we didn't have those things. We just took pictures, brought them back, and put them in a scrapbook and then a story. These people want to post this stuff as stuff is happening. So, yeah, that's a very good point, Jamal, about the social media aspects of it. So right. For those of you out there that are social media people, hey, take heed, you know, be cautious. And, Jamal, you mentioned about cruises. I don't know if anybody's going on a cruise anymore anytime soon. I know you were just talking in general. But these
right.
cruises, man, there's so much happening with those. I don't know how anybody wants to go on a cruise these days, but we'll just have to wait and see. All right, Myra, I hope that answers your question. All right, three, Jim, people are getting sick of the shelter-in-place directives and are now protesting across the country. There are those arguing our constitutional rights are being stomped on. What are your thoughts? And it's signed Concerned from Hampton, Virginia. Well, Jamal, it kind of alludes to what you were talking about in the beginning here about the fact that, you know, the shelter and thing place. I mean, I know there's a lot of protests out there. I know you want to speak. What do you got on the protest, Jamal? Because I know there's a lot going on with that.
Hey, I'm tired of it, man. To be honest with you, man. I understand people's frustrations, man. I think as Americans, man, we're not built to be at home like this and told what to do. We have a lot of liberties and a lot of freedoms. So when you try to bottle all that up, it becomes very frustrating. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think what they need to start doing, and I understand the president told the governors to do what you guys feel is best for your states, but I think we got to find a way. It's here. COVID-19 is here. We have to find a way to live around it. You know, I think the masks that we're wearing, gloves that we're wearing, hand sanitizers, we got to start putting those things in place. You know what I mean? So we can start living our lives again. You know, I'm not saying for clubs and bars to open up again anytime soon, but you know what I mean? But there has to be some kind of getting back to being normal. I get people's frustrations. The only part I don't like it, and I'm talking about both sides of the aisle, is the political stuff that's being used with all of this kind of stuff. I don't like that part of it, you know, but I feel everybody's frustration.
Well, you know, it's hard. You know, as you know, my rule is I don't talk about politics, so I'm not taking sides. So I understand what you're saying because you're not either. You're talking about both sides of the aisle.
Right.
And we're not taking either side. But I mean, I get that. Look, everybody is trying to figure this out. The last pandemic, as we talked about last year, was almost 100 years ago. And when we looked at that last week, remember what we said? Everything that they did back there, these politicians are basically mimicking what was done 100 years ago. The shelter in place. What else are you supposed to do? We're not the only country doing shelter in place. Look at all these other countries doing shelter in place. You know, so people generally don't like their movements restricted. Okay, and you're right. As Americans, we are definitely, you know, people who don't like our movements restricted. Now, look, for everything that I've been seeing lately is that they're talking about the fact that, you know, we're looking more towards it opening up. Okay, now, originally, as I recall, some of these places said it was going to be for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever the case may be. Now, it's been longer than that. California, as an example, I think they started March 16th, 18th, 19th, somewhere around in there. And Governor Newsom said it would be until April 19th. Well, if you look at the calendar, today is April 19th. It hasn't been listed yet, but I saw something yesterday that said it looks like it's going to be May 3rd. But I wouldn't be surprised on May 3rd if they didn't say for another couple of weeks because they're not where they want to be yet. Now, I can only say that some of the people that are protesting from some of these states, okay, there are situations where some states are not in the same situation. Okay. And I'm going to talk about constitutional rights in a second here. Okay. Because you were talking about the freedoms of this email from this person was talking about, the freedom and our constitutional rights being stomped on. But before we went on the air, I got some statistics as an example about, what is this, the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the top 19 states here with this business about these cases. And as we all know, New York is number one. So I don't even know how you could think about protesting in New York, okay, that we want to get out. I mean, New York's got almost 250,000 people, that have been tested positive. The next one down to that is a big jump down to 85,000 with New Jersey, then Massachusetts, then Pennsylvania, California, Michigan is next, then California. Then, let's see, Illinois, Florida, Louisiana, and some of these states that some of these people are protesting in, like I think, Jamal, I think you have some notes on that, but Virginia, as an example, is one of the states that's protesting. And look, they've only got 8,500 cases. Okay, they've got 8,500 cases. Tennessee has 6,700 cases, as an example. And places like, I think we talked about Wyoming, Montana, some of these other states out there, they have
Texas,
nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Texas, Indiana, New Hampshire, Nevada, Maryland, Utah, Wisconsin. Those are some of the states that's been really protested. I mean, some of those states are like, it's not as crowded as New York or California. You know, so it seems like people are more spread out.
Wait a minute. You said, let's back up for a second. You said Texas, right? Now, remember the email that I got was from a lady in Texas, Jamal. They got 140,000 prisoners that they want to let out. Jamal, you just got to say, now I'm looking at the numbers. I'm rounding this off. They got 19,000 cases, Jamal, in the whole state of Texas. Now, if it's that low, think about it. Why would we even think about letting those people out when you look at it?
All right, sorry, Texas. You guys got to stay in prison, man. But
So now I got you to change your mind from earlier. Okay, Texas.
I can't argue for Texas, okay?
That's right.
Hey,
but some of these,
But seriously, what do we do about, because don't the American people have a right to assemble peacefully? And those kind of rights, and churches and things like that. Like, I mean,
okay, let's talk about that. Okay, you know about my background, so let's talk about constitutional law. I taught constitutional law for the University of Phoenix for 13 years. So let's talk about that. Because first of all, Jamal, you're right. It's the First Amendment. People, when they think about the First Amendment, normally think about freedom of religion, speech, freedom of the press. Okay, but also with the First Amendment is the rights of assembly and petition. Now, we got to understand the logic of the founding fathers. The founding fathers, when they came over here to this country, they left countries where they didn't have these things. So they couldn't even decide whether freedom of religion should be First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, or which one of these should go first. So what do? They put these all together under the First Amendment. What people don't normally think about with the First Amendment is the rights of assembly. So I get that, okay? It's the right of the people to peaceably to assemble, okay?
Right.
So that's their right to be able to do that. And, the right of assembly. So, Jamal, when you mentioned about, like, churches, that's an example of not only the right of assembly, but it's also, does it interfere with religious freedoms that we want to be able to get together? Now, I agree. We've seen on the news where some of these churches have said, no, nobody can come to church. And the one, I don't remember where it was, but they showed all the people in their cars that were in their cars. And the preacher was preaching from a podium outside in the parking lot, basically. And apparently these people are getting tickets or something that they were doing because of the fact that it says that you're not supposed to have a gathering over 10 people, 15 people, or whatever. Okay, I get that, but come on. There's a common sense part to this, is that they're all individually in their car. So I don't disagree, okay, on that, on that being potentially out of line, okay? Just because somebody figured out a way around it. But again, you got to look deeper. The other thing, Jamal, before I get into why they can do this in terms of the government, let's look at a couple other amendments real quick. The Fifth Amendment, all right? The Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment also is one that they've been arguing about on the news, because the Fifth Amendment, you know, is against you being deprived of life, liberty, okay, or property without due process of law, okay? Okay.
Okay.
And that's just a piece of the Fifth Amendment. So deprived of life or liberty. Liberty means freedom. So therefore, telling me that I have to stay home and I've not been convicted of anything violates my Fifth Amendment rights without due process of law. Due process of law just simply means that I've been tried and convicted, so therefore my liberty has been taken away from me. That's part of what the Fifth Amendment's all about, okay? And that normally applies, though, in criminal cases, is what people have to understand also. So there's another aspect of this that people are misusing things, in my opinion, to a certain extent. The Fifth Amendment, when you hear them arguing about it on TV, in my opinion, it applies to criminal cases. But the other argument to that is that, listen, because it only applies to criminal cases, then you can't subject me to this, depriving me of my liberty unless it is a criminal case and I get convicted. So that's going to be the argument. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, right. So now you got not only the First Amendment in play, now you've got the Fifth Amendment arguably in play, depending on what side you're on. But the biggest thing that we have to remember with all of these things, and from the constitutional thing that people are arguing about, they can't overlook, Jamal, the Tenth Amendment. And most people don't ever talk about the Tenth Amendment. So let me just tell you, the Tenth Amendment are powers that are retained by the state and the people. And understand that the powers not delegated to the United States, which means the federal government, okay, nor prohibited by it to the state, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, what we're talking about with that is the fact that the federal government doesn't have exclusive power over the states, Jamal. The Tenth Amendment, okay, is where the states get their power from, as long as the federal government has not declared some law, as an example. I'll make it simple like that. So police powers are reserved to the states. Okay. And what does that mean? That means we have our little local sheriff's department, a police department, all that. That stuff's all governed by each individual state. Okay. The FBI is different. You follow what I'm saying? Because that's federal.
Right.
So that's different. So each state gets to determine through their police powers as to what they can do and not do. Okay? Now, if you look at it that way and say, okay, you mentioned about the issue about the governors. The power was given to the governors. Okay, where the president said, okay, governors, you guys can determine when to open up your states, basically. Okay?
Right.
All right. So, under the 10th Amendment, that power is there. Okay? Where they can turn around and do what they want to do or not do what they want to do. Now, I know, like, the governor of Ohio, I believe it was, where they haven't had that many issues with all of this, is going to start talking about reopening things up. So what we have to be careful about with that is whether or not the shelter-in-place ordinances themselves are, in fact, legal. Now, the problem that I see out there is also an equal protection issue. And the equal protection clause is under the 14th Amendment. So that's the last one, okay? Everybody's got to be treated equally. Now, I know you know that, okay?
Right.
Now, so as a business, think about, Jamal, think about these businesses out there that they say this business can open, this one cannot open. Now you see an equal protection argument. Why can they open and I can't open? So now you know you're going to see a flurry of lawsuits, okay, as a result of, okay, an equal protection argument. And you know how this country, everybody loves to sue. But that's what you'll be able to see, okay? Now, the other issue, we're talking about shelter in place. What about quarantine, Jamal? Because some of these people are told that they got to self-quarantine versus regular people of shelter in place. There's a difference. Or curfews. You know, I'm assuming you know the difference between all of these, but just for the listeners, Yeah, the shelter in place is the general order by the governor, shelter in place, you know, everybody try to stay home, just go out when you need to go out. Quarantine means you're supposed to be in a place for 14 days, and now you can't come out for any reason, okay?
Right.
Curfews are dictated, you know, after 10 o'clock, everybody has to be at home. You cannot go out after 10 o'clock, just as an example, for whatever reason. Now, I know some of these other countries have put curfews in place. We haven't done that, I don't believe. I have not seen anything about a curfew yet, okay? And that, to me, is a very strong step once you start doing things like curfews. So, look, we need to clear some things up, all right? Now, when we start talking about the protests, this is the United States of America. We are people who protest. It doesn't matter what, okay? There's people out there, they don't like it, they're going to protest. But what about the needs, Jamal, of the greater? Meaning, not just your situation, because you don't want to be at home, but what about the greater need that the government has to look at regarding protecting everybody, not just an individual's feelings, I don't want to be at home anymore? How are we going to stop this pandemic unless everybody pitches in?
Right.
And I don't think anybody really has, you know, even these politicians and all these things with these task force and everything, I don't think they have a clear picture. Now, let's talk about the authority of the government to be able to do this, because that's really what the picture is going to be. People can argue about the Constitution if they want, and that's fine. But what really gives the government the authority to usurp the Constitution? Under what circumstances? And let me tell you something, emergency restrictions or prohibitions, Jamal, as long as they are reasonably necessary to preserve order or protect public health and safety in response to an identified threat, they can do it as long as it's based in fact and it's imposed in good faith and without pretextual motives. But the most important part is that it has to be sufficiently clear to give notice to the public and avoid arbitrary or capricious enforcement. And in other words, when they come out with this, it can't be vague, okay, or overbroad. It has to be specific. And I think that these governments, you know, whether it's the federal government or the state government, Jamal, what are they doing? They're being very specific with this. Shelter in place. These are the conditions. I don't know. I've been talking, Jamal. What are your thoughts?
No. I'm listening to what you're saying because I'm learning a lot here about the specifics. I mean, I know a lot of general stuff, and I think what you're giving out is good information. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to sway you with what you're saying. Okay, so I'm heading the right direction.
I didn't say all that, but I just don't know how many. I don't know how many college students, you know what I mean, are supposed to be on a spring break in the summer just really going to want to sit still, and that's going to be the problem.
Well, here's the problem.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. But here's the other side of the coin. The summer, okay, is when we're going to have a lot more sunshine. The sun fights against these viruses and these flus. That's why we don't hear about those generally during the summer. And that's why they're talking about there could be a second wave of this in the fall, because viruses and the flu seasons, this will come back up again. So even though the summertime is hot, it's out there. So if they want to be out there this summer, less of an issue, in my opinion. I heard some of the governors talking the other day. They were talking about the governors from Massachusetts, and I think it was New Hampshire. They're talking about they can't open one of them can't open the beaches in Massachusetts as an example yet, because if they open the beaches there and New Hampshire, as an example, doesn't open their beach, okay, because they're concerned they're clamping down, what do you think is going to happen to the people in New Hampshire that aren't that far from Massachusetts and they want to go to a beach? Where do you think they're going?
It's going to be a crowded condition.
That's right. Those people are going to flood into the Massachusetts area, and who knows what they could be bringing with them. And that's the problem.
Right.
So that's why some of these states are trying to get together. Some of the governors from some of these states that are in close proximity to each other are trying to basically say, okay, we got to coordinate this. Yeah, we're going to open up our beaches. Right. You got to open up your beach. You're not opening up your beach, we can't open up our beach.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. And it is going to frustrate people. Why? You got the sunbathers out there, Jamal. They want to go to the beach during the summer. Just that simple.
Right.
Don't tell me I can't go. Now, let's talk about Florida as an example. Florida, their issues appear to be more southern than northern, I think. You know, so some of the inland beaches and stuff like that, you look at that and say, okay, they don't have as many problems there. So this is what the governors get faced with when you just say open it up, not open it up, whatever the case may be. So let's just say Daytona Beach, their community is not really having a problem with all these cases. But Jacksonville, which I recall is about an hour away, Jacksonville turns around and says, we're not opening our beaches. You open up Daytona Beach, like once again, what are these people going to do? They're going to go to Daytona Beach. Right. And now Daytona Beach. So what we have to understand, and the general public has to understand, Jamal, and I know how you feel about this, but, you know, basically I've been working from home, okay? Right. You guys put calls through to me. I get clients that call me directly. I get emails from clients, you know, and all of that. The problem is that it is a sacrifice. And I think that we should put our individual feelings above, you know, or behind, rather, what's good for the general public. I think that's the problem. Now,
right.
I want to take this a step further, okay? Because I want people to understand when we're talking about this, when you talk about some businesses being closed, some not being closed, it's the equal protection argument, we get all of that, okay? But there are actually cases on this very issue, and I'm not talking about recent cases on this, okay? So just to give you an idea, there was a case way back, Jamal, in 1824 where the United States Supreme Court had agreed that the states have police powers, okay? And the Chief Justice at that time, which was John Marshall, observed that the police powers, that immense mass of legislation, as he put it anyway, which embraces everything within the territory of a state, not surrendered to the federal government. So remember I was just talking about police powers a moment ago, right? So right. Way back in 1824, they're saying under the police powers of the 10th Amendment, okay, the states have a right to dictate certain things. Guess what it included back in 1824? Quarantine laws and health laws of every description. That is a quote from the Chief Justice John Marshall, Jamal, in a case called Gibbons versus Ogden. I guess you really don't need that. But it's a United States Supreme Court case way back then. That says that the states have a right to be able to do this under certain circumstances. Now, look, we got to understand that the police powers are not a blank check. Okay? The state may not do absolutely anything it wants simply by invoking public health or safety issues. There's got to be some kind of framework. But in this particular case, just think about it, people out there. Health and safety laws are important. So all of these people that are protesting, and like I said, this is a country, Jamal, where people love to protest because they have the freedom of protesting. I haven't heard about protests in Italy. I haven't heard about protests in Germany. I haven't ever heard about any protests in China. Why? Because right. Over there, things might be a little bit more restrictive than they are here. Okay? But or maybe – go ahead.
We've been on, like, shelter in place for, like, close to a month, right? About a month. Roughly.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, shouldn't they have come up with something about how we can live with this, live around this and stuff by now?
Well, Jamal, but that's what they're doing. That's why they've been on the news talking about the governors are now looking and just trying to figure out how to reopen it. So they're looking at doing certain businesses, open those back up. They're giving restrictions now or giving directives that employers, as an example, okay, have to have the gloves for their employees, or have it. I was looking at Ford. Ford right. was showing how they had people that are working a little bit further apart from each other. So they're still trying to work all of this out. So they are trying to get to that point. We have to be patient. This is not a situation that they could just say, okay, everybody can open up tomorrow. Now I will say that people are probably smarter than some people are smarter than right. than now. Okay, and some people do want to be able to do the guidelines. You saw the other day, Jamal, a client stopped by to drop something off. And what was his instructions? Knock on the door, you follow what I'm saying? And when you knock on the door, please be wearing a face mask and gloves. You answered right. the door and got the the package from the from that client. Remember?
Well, so yes, so I do.
So that's what I'm saying. It just has to be done, okay, in a certain way, and everybody is scrambling to figure it out. You know, and a month is not a long time. I mean, it may seem like that on a day-by-day basis when somebody's just sitting home looking at the four walls. I get that. But the other side of the coin is, why do you want to take a chance and go out there and get something yourself?
Right.
I don't know. Like I said, it's to me, it's probably only a few weeks away where things will start loosening up. But Jamal, let me ask you a question. If tomorrow the government said, okay, Jamal, you're free to go back out and do whatever you want, are you heading to a restaurant crowded with people?
No, I do have an idea where I would go, but
but you see what I'm saying. So even if they open it up, come on, people are not going to rush. Some people, because there's some people out there that don't give, that don't care. Okay, but I'm saying a lot of people. So this thing opening back up is going to be more strategic than that. The restaurants, as an example, they turn around and Jamal, their seating capacity may have been 150 people. They may they may turn around and have to do what? Eliminate 75 chairs out of there. So people are sitting to get people to come back in. But guess what? They have a restaurant owner on the news the other day talking about, if my capacity is X numbers of people and I cut that in half, because restaurants have a tough time making money, cutting it in half is not going to help a restaurant at all.
Right.
So, you know, so a lot of things have to be worked out. So we can't just open the floodgates. So these people that want to turn around and complain and protest, that's only half the story. Because right now you can get in your car and drive to, you know, drive somewhere. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day. He said he and his girlfriend drove down to Laguna. He said normally take you two from where he lives, take you 2 hours to get down there. They got down there in an hour. And they just parked by the roadside, looked at the beach. You know, there's things to do to get out. Okay, so I think for some of these people, it might be the thought of the fact that I can't do anything. You know, you could go out for a walk. Nobody's telling you can't go out for a walk. The stores are open. You know, the malls are not open, you know, the way everybody would like. So, look, we need to be patient. And the other thing they've got to think about is whether or not there's a very key question that goes along with these police powers and the rest of this is that. It's whether a temporary measure has exceeded its shelf life. Now, think about that. A temporary measure that's exceeded its shelf life. That's what we're going through right now, okay? Because it was supposed to be a temporary measure for a short amount of time, and now it's exceeded its shelf life, meaning that, okay, it's gotten to a point now where people are getting upset, okay?
Right.
So the measure was – but who – how do you figure out when it's time to take it from a temporary measure, okay, and to try to restore things back to normal?
Right.
I think that's part of the problem. And my concern is, Jamal, I mean, you've got a young son at home. These guys are going out. Are they taking this stuff as serious as probably the older people? And some of the older people are out there. I don't know about the over the 65 group. I think they're very conscientious with all of this, but – you know, there's people out there that aren't being very conscientious about all of this. And I think that's going to be part of the problem.
Now, you're right. That's true.
You know, as a nation, okay, you know, for people that are following this, the curve, okay, is flattening. We are getting there. We need people just to be patient a little bit longer as they're trying to figure out all these different things. So this business about protesting here and there and doing all that, in my opinion, I understand, but just remember with all these things about violations of the Constitution, in my opinion, it's not a violation of the Constitution. There are major, major cases out there. If anybody just wants to Google it, they can see that when it's a public or health concern like what we're going through right now, it changes things, okay? And it's not a violation of the Constitution. Right. So these people that are filing these lawsuits are going to find out, you know, after very costly measures, that in fact, you know, they could do it. There's longstanding cases on it. So end of story. You know, it's going to be the bottom line. You know, so that's the issue. I don't know, Jamal. Wrap this up for me, man. So if I at least could, you know, convince you.
Come on, we all in this together, man. America, we always been known to pull together under times like this. So You know, let's give him a few more weeks and try to hang in there, pull this thing together, and keep flattening the curve. I hear the numbers is going down, and let's just keep at it.
And I think, Jamal, that's about all we can do, man. I mean, I know I kind of dominated the show a little bit this time, but I wanted to get out the technical part of what these people are talking about with the protests. Those people are asking about that and whether or not their rights are being trampled on. So I had to get that out.
No, that was very important. I thought it was good information.
Yeah, even you said you learned something. I think I swayed you a little bit. Okay, yeah. Well, hey, you've been listening to Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio, and it's time to close out the show, guys. Be sure to join us next week, and do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, guys, please be aware, be vigilant, and more importantly nowadays, be safe. Until next week, guys.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.